I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's almost unfair. I'll qualify that. It's almost unfair that they pay me to do this job during times of the year like this one. It's not even officially NFL free agency yet, but you know what tonight is? It's New Year's Eve. So, Happy New Year! It's very exciting. All kinds of fireworks in the NFL. And it certainly is going to be fascinating to watch the way these moves play out come the fall. Now, I know that's a long, long time from now. But it also gives Browns fans, for instance, the opportunity to really get revved up and think about the possibilities, endless possibilities for the Cleveland Browns. For the New York Jets, getting in a top flight running back who theoretically should be coming in fresh and explosive and energetic and ready to work. For the Green Bay Packers, who've retooled their defense at many positions. For the Buffalo Bills, who add a couple of receivers to help out their young quarterback, Josh Allen. We're pinballing all over the country. And we'll stop and spend a little more time on each of these moves. But I love the fact that we can use the New Year's Eve comparison. Because what do we look forward to? Turning the page, hitting the reset button, starting fresh. Hope springs eternal, but also fireworks. We love fireworks. And the NFL, well, the NFL is giving us the fireworks that we require. I don't even know if we've hit the grand finale yet, but even if this was that, you know how sometimes you go to a fireworks display or a show and they fake the grand finale? Like they give you almost a tease of what's to come with the grand finale. This might be it. Or this might be it. We'll find out, because there are still 14 hours to go until any of these deals can be made official. In case you're wondering, the NFL New Year, the start of free agency officially, begins at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 o'clock Pacific on Wednesday, March 14th. And whether you are a huge fan of St. Paddy's Day, some of you have nothing to do with the Irish, you just like to drink alcohol. Whether you're a huge fan of St. Paddy's Day, whether you are a Jets fan, or whether you just like green, maybe you're a Kermit the Frog fan, I would love to hear from you. We know Le'Veon Bell loves green. In fact, he was a New York Jets fan as a kid. He once said it would take $100 million for him to sign in New York. Half of that is actually what got the job done. So let's start there with the latest breaking news. And then we'll work our way backwards. Le'Veon Bell, after sitting out the 2018 season, gets a four-year, $52.5 million deal to sign with the Jets. And if you haven't seen his latest Instagram post, his beard is green. Producer Chris will put up all the pertinent pictures and reaction on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. The San Francisco 49ers also made a push for Le'Veon Bell, but in the end, there was more money from New York. And as I've heard, Curtis Martin was also instrumental in coaxing Bell to choose the Jets. By the way, New York, the Jets, host Pittsburgh in the 2019 schedule. The scheduling gods do this on purpose. Sometimes I wonder if they know what's coming. So juicy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We've got a lot to talk about. As I've said, barely scratched the surface. I saw you already tweeting and posting away on our social media pages. So whether it's Twitter, A-Law Radio, whether it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, I gave you a spot already where you can weigh in, and you were blowing up the page when I logged out of my control studio where I was prepping. But there's a lot to say, and there are a lot of teams involved, which really ropes in fan bases all over the country. So I'm looking forward to talking with you. We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio now. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Le'Veon Bell gave up $14.5 million by skipping out on his franchise tagged season with the Steelers last fall. Again, the idea being as long as he's still in shape, he's got a little less mileage on his body, but also a body that would be completely healthy and recovered from the pounding that he took in the 5 years before that. His total yards per game from 2013 through 2017, the last time we saw him on a field, was a whopping 128.9. Think about that. Combined total yards from the line of scrimmage divided by the number of games he played in those five seasons. It was the most in the NFL for a player who ever started his career with such versatility and explosiveness. And so for Bell, he was a record setter when he first got into the league. 128.9 yards per game. I mean, that's an average over 5 years. And he was tired of feeling like he didn't get the money he deserved for carrying that much of the load. And that became his beef with the Steelers. Now, let's be honest. He did not get the money he thought he was going to. And we knew, even though the physical gamble may pay off by him sitting out a year, it may not. That remains to be seen. But we knew that the way the Steelers carried on without him in the backfield, the way that they were able to use James Conner, slide him right in there as a second year back. And then how about the rookie Jalen Samuels when Conner got hurt? That actually hurt Bell's market. It hurt his value. And he knew that. He actually stayed away when he had said he was going to return midway through last season. He saw what Conner and Samuels were doing and he decided it just was better for him to skip the entire season, which is exactly what he did. So he didn't get the money that he thought he might get. And he'll never get that $14.5 million back. We've already established this. But I can imagine he's anxious to get back to football after waiting, after considering the offers. He actually, well, he had to share some music with us first before he would announce that he was rejoining the world of football with the New York Jets. And Ian Rappaport has got the details.
It sounded like Le'Veon Bell was waiting for us to listen to his mixtape, which dropped at about midnight, until he finally announced. And if you think I'm joking, you would be wrong. He dropped this news right after basically his mixtape came on Twitter and Spotify and all sorts of other social media sites. And look, this is something that I think we all knew was happening. The Jets were clearing in a way the front runner here. From my understanding, is they made an offer they felt very confident in, and basically never moved off that. Even at the last minute, Bell tried to get other teams like the Oakland Raiders involved. They did not get involved to the level that the Jets did, so he simply took the offer that was made to him by the New York Jets and signed with the team that we all thought he would sign with. And you know, if you think about what the Jets did today and over the last couple of days, they've added a lot of star power. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell, C.J. Mosley, Jamison Crowder. They tried to sign Anthony Barr. Obviously, that didn't work out like they wanted. But this was a big day for the New York Jets, and obviously for Le'Veon Bell. He at least gets the multi-year contract that he has sought for several years.
Ian Rappaport on the NFL Network with a few of the details as Le'Veon Bell chooses the New York Jets and gangrene for his next NFL destination. And again, if you have not seen the picture that he posted on Instagram, Chris has put it up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Can't wait to hear from you. But before I start to read some of your reaction and pot you up, that's a radio term, shop talk, pot you up on the radio, we had to talk about that other move. You know, the one just before the Le'Veon Bell move, the other fireworks-inducing move, this one a trade that set off wild celebration on the shores of Lake Erie. Odell Beckham Jr. traded from the Giants to the Browns at 26 years old. In the eyes of the Giants, he was worth a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and a starting safety. Which, just side note, compare what the Raiders gave up for Antonio Brown, an accomplished 9-year wide receiver. Now, I know he's older. He's 30. He'll be 31 before we start next season. And Odell Beckham Jr. is 26. But there's not that much of a difference between their ages. A lot of mileage. But Antonio Brown was setting the type of records that OBJ is setting now when he first got into the league. So think about it. A third and a fifth round pick for Brown. OBJ, who just signed a massive contract with the Giants in August of last year, is good for a first and third round pick and a starting safety. So just to compare those two, I think it's fascinating. As I mentioned, that huge deal with the Giants for Odell last year. Remember, he said he didn't believe in holdouts, so he showed up and then proceeded to make the Giants' life miserable while he was there. I know there's a lot of criticism for general manager Dave Gettleman of the Giants in the hours since this trade became public. But to me, it really underscores the fact that the Giants had decided they'd had enough of OBJ. And I'm interested in the reaction from Giants fans, because I heard from a lot of you who were done with Odell. You were done. You were ready to ship him out of town. He doesn't represent the Giants. That's not how we operate. Well, you got your wish. Does it make you happy? The Giants were 5-11 last season. OBJ was irritated. He was discontent. And he was speaking out way more often than Pat Shurmur and the Giants would like. Remember that whole Lil Wayne interview? Talk about fireworks. Now, in Cleveland, Beckham has one of his best friends on the planet, who is also a wide receiver, in Jarvis Landry. They go back to LSU, and he has his former receivers coach from LSU, Adam Henry. Both of those guys await him in Cleveland. If you didn't see the coverage on NFL Network, I was baking cookies and watching it. I mean, I can multitask, and the cookies turned out great, I think. Dave had one. Okay, I get a thumbs up from Dave. I felt like baking cookies randomly in the middle of the week. So as I was watching NFL Network, Kim Jones, who covers the New York football market, so Giants and Jets for NFL Network, said she had spoken to OBJ. So she was the first person that I heard from who had actually contacted him. He's overseas somewhere on vacation. She didn't say where. She said that he reported a very brief conversation with Gettleman. Essentially, I'm trading you to the Cleveland Browns. Click. Okay, it was probably longer than that, but there wasn't a whole lot of substance to that conversation, according to Odell. And that he was still processing. She said shock would have been too strong a word, but that he wasn't quite sure how to react. He mentioned Landry on the phone. And just that he was still thinking about it. But he also did tell Kim Jones that Freddie Kitchens and Landry both reached out to him to say, we're excited to have you in Cleveland. And so that was the reaction from Odell wherever he is vacationing overseas. What's the reaction in Cleveland? Oh, well, we're going to answer that question. Our friend Daryl Ryder, who covers the Browns for our affiliate in Cleveland, 92.3 The Fan, will join us 25 minutes from now. He's obviously been working around the clock because the Browns have been busy. Not just Odell Beckham Jr., though that is certainly the blockbuster, But Sheldon Richardson earlier on Tuesday, so adding a piece on the defensive side. Think about the potential for the Browns offense. And then you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And I don't just pose this question for Browns fans. How about football fans anywhere? Baker Mayfield had 27 passing touchdowns last year. It was a new NFL rookie record. They already had Landry. They add Odell Beckham Jr. Nick Chubb was just shy of 1,000 yards last year. Actually, he got over that mark, and then he had a loss in the backfield. So sorry, it's not funny. I mean, it's kind of funny. He was over 1,000 yards, and then he had a tackle for loss and bumped back to, I think it was 996. So essentially, he was right at 1,000 yards. We know that Kareem Hunt is waiting in the wings for the Browns, depending on what the NFL does in his suspension and discipline. This was a team on the cusp of a winning season last year, 7-8-1. So whether you're a Browns fan or not, what's the reaction to Odell Beckham Jr. joining that offense? And of course, Le'Veon Bell with the New York Jets. A lot of other moves. Again, just the tip of the iceberg. We're only getting started. It's New Year's Eve in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our hump show on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Mayfield shotgun. Baker takes it. Lux fires one in. It is caught inside the end zone. It's a touchdown. It's Callaway.
And it's a rookie record for touchdown passes by a quarterback.
How about that? Baker Mayfield into the record books.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, does that make you miss football? It is New Year's Eve for the NFL, but we don't actually have games. Though the AAF is still going on until the end of April, if that floats your boat. Jim Donovan on the Browns Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I wonder if anyone's heard from Baker Mayfield. We will ask our Browns insider when he joins us 20 minutes from now on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. It's our hump show, which means ask Amy anything. I know a lot of you are asking me what I think about these trades, these moves. The Odell Beckham Jr. trade to Cleveland in exchange for a first and third round pick, as well as a starting safety in Jabril Peppers. So the Giants at least get back a body who will fill the space that Landon Collins used to operate. And I think this indicates far more about the toll that OBJ's constant yapping and dissatisfaction with the offense took on the locker room. This is not an indictment of his talent. We all know how talented he is. Though, do you know in his first 5 years in the NFL, he's only played all 16 games once? The last 2 years, now I know he played a dozen games last year, but he was still, at the end, injured and they shut him down. Was it 3 games the year before? So he's not extremely durable. But when he's on the field, he's lightning. He's a game changer. He's must-see TV. He puts butts in the seats. And his talent is undeniable. So what does that tell you about the Giants? About Dave Gettleman? About Pat Shurmur? About the Mara family? They were done. They'd had enough. They were done. It was like the Steelers with Antonio Brown. And honestly, it's probably a good thing they made this deal before OBJ figured out that he could pull the same AB stunts and get himself shipped out of town. If there was anyone else in the NFL who would have followed the pattern set by Antonio Brown, it would have been Odell Beckham Jr. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. We put a spot up on our Facebook page where you can weigh in about some of the moves in the NFL, even as we approach the actual beginning of the new year. And then a spot for you to put up your questions for Ask Amy Anything. In 5 years, Beckham has amassed 5,476 yards and 44 touchdowns. And again, keep in mind, only once in those first 5 years, he's a three-time Pro Bowler, but only once in those first 5 years has he actually been on the field for all 16 games. Joe Thomas got hurt and retired just before the Browns got John Dorsey as their general manager and started wheeling and dealing like nobody's business. He's now a guest on the NFL Network periodically. And as luck would have it, what a coinky dink, Joe Thomas was on the NFL Network set when the news about OBJ broke.
It's just jaw-dropping. You pair Jarvis Landry with his buddy Odell Beckham Jr., and you put the franchise quarterback with Baker Mayfield back there, and those guys are going to be together for a long time. You know that river that was burning in Cleveland and that big parade they had after the Cavs won? They better have the firefighters on standby because that city is about to burn down. That is a Browns town, and they can feel it and they can taste it right now.
So Joe Thomas, who's the future Hall of Fame offensive lineman, remember more than 10,000 snaps that he made consecutively before he got hurt. He's as good a talker, always the offensive linemen are great talkers. He's as good a talker and analyst as he was a football player, and that should tell you something. Right after the news about the OBJ trade went public and went viral, as you can imagine, their star defensive lineman, Myles Garrett, weighed in as well. Now, he actually said he expected Tuesday to be a flurry of Cleveland activity because it was so quiet on Monday. So he said, I wasn't making predictions, but I knew something was going to go down because John Dorsey hadn't made his big splash yet. And he says already he and his fellow teammates, especially on the defensive side, are starting to rumble and think about what's ahead.
Most I've heard from the D linemen, and they're excited. You know, we want to see them score points so we can get on the field, you know, make big plays, get sacks, strip sacks, and just get the ball back to them and watch them score. So there's going to be an offensive, you know, high-flying, you know, display on the other side of the ball. We can't wait to, you know, get the ball back to them.
Myles Garrett, Cleveland Browns defensive end on NFL Network, as was Joe Thomas. We have a lot more reaction, but coming up next, we're going to head to Cleveland and get the deets of this particular deal. And also, I think the excitement level is about to reach epic proportions, and it's March. And so it's a good time to talk to Daryl Ryder from 92.3 The Fan, our affiliate in Cleveland. Just as we go to our update here, think about some of the other moves that were made. They haven't become official yet. Nothing's official until 4:00 Eastern time on Wednesday, which is, of course, the start of the NFL league year. But while we're talking offensive players, Latavius Murray, the former Vikings running back, will join the New Orleans Saints, which signals the end of Mark Ingram. So now it's going to be Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray. The two wide receivers that end up signing in Buffalo or will sign in Buffalo, I think an interesting tandem, but I like the fact that the Bills are going after players. Remember, they tried to get Antonio Brown. They're going after players that they can put on the field with Josh Allen, who can provide a little bit of experience. So a 3-year deal they give to John Brown, a 4-year deal to Cole Beasley. So the former Dallas Cowboy now is a Buffalo Bill. On the defensive side, weird about face by the linebacker Anthony Barr. So instead of joining the New York Jets, he gets a 5-year deal to stay with the Minnesota Vikings. However, the Jets did get linebacker C.J. Mosley to a 5-year deal, which I think is huge for them. The leadership and the experience that he brings to that defense will be welcome. The Packers make a handful of moves on defense and also shore up their offensive line. And so there's a lot to react to. We've put a spot on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And also, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Coming up next, we head to Cleveland. Then we'll try to work in some of your calls, 855-212-4227. Oh, and we've got a poll up, by the way. Producer Chris, creative poll. Which newly acquired offensive star will have the bigger impact on his new franchise? Is it OBJ in Cleveland? Is it Le'Veon Bell in New York? So that's a great poll. You're already rocking it on Twitter, After Hours, CBS, and you can see Le'Veon Bell with a green beard just in time for St. Patrick's Day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
end around to Odell Beckham Jr. He's looking to pass it. Now he's going to throw it down the middle of the field. Wide open. Caught at the 5 and in for the touchdown is Russell Shepard.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, it's a thing of the past. Odell Beckham Jr. no longer a New York Giant. Bob Papa with the call on the Giants Radio Network, but soon it will be Jim Donovan calling Baker Mayfield to Odell Beckham Jr. touchdowns, we think. All things being equal, the guys stay healthy, which is, I imagine, what most NFL fans are rooting for. Who doesn't want to see what this new-look Browns offense can do? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. However, you, peeps, we'll have to wait. We're pleased to welcome Daryl Ryder, who is the Browns insider for our Cleveland affiliate, 92.3 The Fan. The last time we talked to him, it was about the Freddie Kitchens hire. And now here we go. Some bigger news. I would say this is bigger news, Daryl. When did you have an inkling this was happening, that this is something the Browns were working on? Dish.
Well, right about 6:30, 7 o'clock, my phone kept buzzing with more Odell Beckham talk, and it actually started early in the afternoon, but it got to a point because we had been hearing this for weeks, if not months, that the Browns were going to swing a deal to get Beckham to Cleveland. That just never materialized. I was rather dismissive of it. And then just right out of the blue there at about 8 o'clock, it came down that the Browns indeed pulled off the trade that everyone had been anticipating and almost wishing into fruition. And it didn't cost John Dorsey a whole heck of a lot. He just gives up the 17th, the 95th picks in the draft, and safety Jabril Peppers.
So you don't think giving up a first and a third round pick as well as a starting safety is that big a deal?
No, considering I was expecting that the Giants would be asking for multiple first round picks, no. And it also changed too with the signing of Sheldon Richardson, or at least the agreement to sign Sheldon Richardson Tuesday morning. I think that was the catalyst, because going into the draft, I had kind of penciled in that the Browns would be targeting one of these defensive tackles with the 17th pick in the draft. And when they signed Sheldon Richardson, all of a sudden that pick, I believe, became expendable, and Dorsey was able to go ahead and pull off this trade. But no, I honestly thought the Giants would ask for multiple ones, and they didn't do that.
How much do you think it matters that OBJ's best friend from LSU, Jarvis Landry, is already on the team, as well as his former wide receivers coach?
Yeah, I think it matters tremendously. Adam Henry coached him at LSU along with Landry, and also Baker Mayfield too. The two seemed to forge a bit of a friendship last year when they when the trio of them worked out on the West Coast in the off season. So I don't think that this big personality chemistry problem story that has come out of New York is going to be a problem in Cleveland, because he's going to be around guys that not only he likes, respects, admires, gets along with, but also will be able to kind of maybe keep that ego in check a little bit.
Daryl Ryder covers the Browns for our Cleveland affiliate, 92.3 The Fan. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. How would you describe, at least on paper, the Cleveland offense right now?
It is right up there with the elite teams in the National Football League. Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, once he is permitted to play. And, oh, they also have Antonio Callaway, too. So they might have the best 1-2 combination at receiver and the best 1-2 combination at running back in the league. Might. I'm not saying they do. But they might. And keep in mind, a couple of years ago, Isaiah Crowell was like the best player the Cleveland Browns could put on a football field.
And when you think about the hire of Freddie Kitchens as head coach, how does that fit?
Oh, I can't wait to see what he's going to draw up. I mean, he had Jarvis Landry throw a 65-yard bomb down the field last year. So, and that came off a reverse. So Lord knows what he is going to cook up with Baker Mayfield and, you know, this just loaded offense. I might not even matter that the Browns have put together one of the best defensive fronts in the league as well, because the Browns offense, I think, is just going to run a track meet this year. I mean, when you look at it on paper, if everyone stays healthy, if everyone plays to their potential, I mean, this is going to be a very high-octane, explosive offense, and they're going to go from one of the worst production-wise just on the scoreboard. So I think potentially one of the leaders, you know, Baker threw 27 touchdown passes last year, and I have a feeling that that number is going to go up just a smidge in 2019.
Is Breshad Perriman a casualty of all of this, by the way?
Yeah. Okay. Breshad Perriman and the Browns mutually agreed to nullify their agreement for him to come back on a one-year, $4 million deal. Obviously was expecting to be able to prove himself with Baker and the Browns this year and kind of reset his market value in 2020. But Odell Beckham coming in and that just basically going to swallow up whatever targets I think that he would be able to get. So John Dorsey, being the class act that he is, did right by Perriman. They scrapped the agreement, and now Perriman, from what I understand, is going to sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, pretty much the same contract, 1 year, $4 million.
All right, so what do the Browns need now? They've made some big-time moves. We're not just talking about the offensive side of the ball, also looking at the defensive side, Olivier Vernon being another piece. You mentioned Sheldon Richardson. So what else do they need to address in the draft?
Well, they need another safety now all of a sudden since he's in New York. They need some help at linebacker because they cut Jamie Collins, and they haven't really replaced him just yet. And then after that, it's depth, Amy. A year ago, consider this, John Dorsey brought in over 40 players, made 14 trades, and he replaced 10 to 11 of the team's 22 starters from that 0-16 season. This offseason, you're looking at three starters that he has replaced, and now you're just kind of looking at depth. So it tells you just how far John Dorsey has taken this roster and turned it over, turned it around in 15 months, really, short amount of time to do it. Once they figure out what they want to do with their second safety spot, I've heard Earl Thomas's name mentioned. I've heard a couple other guys that are out there. They certainly want to fill that. They need some linebacker help. And then after that, it's all about rounding out the roster with depth.
Has anyone heard from Baker Mayfield over the last couple months? What's he up to?
Baker Mayfield is vacationing, enjoying himself. He was kind enough to pop on Twitter tonight to give his little he's very, very happy with what transpired tonight. Jarvis Landry jumped on Twitter. Of course, he and Odell go back to the days at LSU in college. They're real tight. I guess they FaceTime. From my understanding, Odell's actually out of the country right now.
Yep.
That he is on vacation out of the country. But there are a lot of happy Cleveland Browns. There are a lot of happy Cleveland Browns fans this morning.
So I have to ask you this, Daryl. I saw on your Twitter as I was getting ready to have you on the show, is this heaven? No, it's Cleveland, in response to a post that the NFL put up on Twitter, which features Baker and Landry and OBJ. Is it close? I mean, is this really a difficult discussion about Cleveland versus heaven?
Yeah, I mean, hell, I think John Dorsey ought to call the Lakers and see if he can get LeBron back. I mean, while he's at it, I mean, why not? You know, it's gonna be a lot of fun, no question. The deal certainly not only rocked the sports world and the NFL, but it really, I think, announced that the Cleveland Browns legitimately, it took 20 years, but they're officially back. They're going to be in prime time a lot this year. I really think that this is, going to become America's new team. A lot of people are going to come out of the woodwork. A lot of Browns fans, not just around the country, but around the world, that have kind of had to go into hiding in shame because the team has been so unwatchable for the past two decades. I think it's going to be a real cathartic experience for those fans to be able to watch a team and be proud of a team that's going to be among the elites in the NFL. You can at least say, you know, we say that the Browns didn't belong on the field with a lot of teams in the league, and now you can say, hey, you know, they belong on the same field as the New England Patriots. They belong on the same field as the Kansas City Chiefs or the Saints or, you know, those other elite teams around the league. They have to prove themselves. They got to go out there and do it and prove it. But what's been done on paper by John Dorsey has been nothing short of remarkable since he took over as GM in December of 2017.
Daryl Ryder from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. A lot of excitement, a lot of optimism from him, even as he joins us here on After Hours in the wake of this breaking news. But before I let you go, Daryl, how does this offseason, the attitude, the mood, as you're talking about Browns fans, compare to, say, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
Well, hope has always sprung eternal in Cleveland. You know, the NFL draft has been the Super Bowl, the pinnacle, the seminal moment for Browns fans each and every year. Now it just doesn't matter. They don't have a first-round pick this year, and I don't think anybody cares. And, you know, I think that now the hope, though, is going to go from just that to expectation. And that, to me, is going to be the fascinating part of this now because, you know, last year when the worms started to turn and they won five of their final seven games. You had an interim coach in Greg Williams. Freddie Kitchens was in, you know, he announced his presence to everybody over those final 8 weeks. Baker Mayfield took off. The offense took off. And, you know, they were playing with house money. You know, Freddie could call things real loose in games and call reverses and all those type of things. Well, now they're going to be expected to win football games. They're going to be in prime time. They're right there, you know, with the, you know, the marquee teams in the league. They're going to be a major, major attraction. So it's going to be interesting to watch how this organization and this football team reacts to those expectations. But fans are pumped. There's no question about it. I think that this is the first time in a long time where you can legitimately say that the Browns are a contender rather than maybe just talking yourself into it each and every year before they get to the fall and then reality sets in that it's just another typical football season in Cleveland.
Cannot wait to see how this plays out on the field. You can follow Daryl on Twitter at Ryder Wrong, F-A-N. So it's R-U-I-T-E-R, Wrong, F-A-N. Covers the team, covers the Browns, sometimes the Cavs for 92.3 in Cleveland. It's great to have a couple minutes with you. Be happy, Cleveland, be happy. Thanks, Daryl.
You got it, Amy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.